It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
We are not afraid, as you've heard so many times, and not afraid. You know what? We have actually a kind of a neat little situation here. We had an early caller. See, early bird gets the worms, and so I guess if you like worms, you want to be an early bird. I don't like worms. But in any event, we mentioned him, and I think fair is fair. So we've got a caller on the line already. Now, we're actually, folks, do not call in right now, if you please. We're going to do that at the last half hour of the show, which is in 30 minutes from now. But we're going to take an exception. Let's see if we can raise, I think we've got our friend Gary from California. Can we get Gary on the line? Gary, are you with us?
I'm here.
Oh, hey, Gary. Thank you for calling again. Let us know. How did I offend you today?
Well, you didn't.
I didn't?
You know, you just said that I made objection to Judeo-Christians versus Christians.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know the difference that you were making, but if you
would. Well, a Judeo-Christian... there's two things about a Judeo-Christian that come to mind immediately. First of all, we are called Christian soldiers. Okay, that means you're to fight, not necessarily pick up arms unless attacked. Okay, and fight, but you're to get into the political arena. You're to get in front of those abortion clinics. You're to do all them things, and you're to fight. You know, from that perspective, right now I think they call it political. But you're to get involved in that fight. A lot of your Judeo-Christians don't do that. They say, well, Jesus will handle it. Well, they forget that the Bible makes a statement that Jesus works through his people. And, well, that's the pastor. I see. The pastor, as he jumps out in his Mercedes-Benz and taking off, because most of these Judeo-Christian churches are pretty mega churches. And, you know, and they believe that Jews are God's chosen people, even though the Bible says in 844 that they're of their father the devil and his works they'll do. That's number one. Number two, you go into 1st and 2nd John. He says anybody that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is the Antichrist. So now you take the Antichrist and you make them God's chosen people. I disagree with that.
Wow.
You're Christians, as I am, we go strictly from the Bible. I mean, we don't
this is a short segment, and that's good. I wanted to get you in, but where does it say that we are to go out and hurt other people? I thought I remember something about casting a stone or something, but what do you say to that, Gear?
Well, he was talking about a lady that he had just forgiven, and she, I guess, accepted the forgiveness,
right?
Doing whatever she was doing, and she stopped doing it.
Well, no, the words are, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. That it's taken separately. The words stand on their own without the reference to the prostitute.
Well, you're not picking the whole phrase here, because the Pharisees that brought the girl up there, that's who he was talking to, and they were the ones that was probably committing adultery with her in the first place, because how did they know what she was doing? And he was looking at them when he was saying this. He's also writing something in the dirt. So, you know, there's a lot of things that you've got to look into when you say that. You know, you can't. Christianity doesn't mean you just kick back. Why would he call you a warrior, then you just sit down?
Well, see, I take it as a spiritual fight, and that I honestly believe that our example, how we fight, is by setting an example. Live the way you talk. Don't get the Jimmy Swaggart syndrome. You know, do as I say, but don't watch me too close. No, I take it. It's a fair difference of opinion. Gary, I want to thank you. We've got to close up this segment. We'll be back.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Well, surprise, surprise, it's not Ernest Hancock. It's Barry Hess sitting in for that vacationing or rendered or instituted or incarcerated Ernest Hancock. Actually, okay, folks, I'm going to tell you, I don't know if he told you or not, but he's going up to Canada. He's going to beat up some baby seals and maybe hunt some polar bears or something. Whoever knows, maybe we were, of course, no, wait a minute, don't be too wild because he's hunting them with a switch. Yeah. Well, there you go. And we're hoping the Grizzlies will get the upper hand, and he'll have some stories to tell us when he gets back. But meanwhile, I want to thank Gary. We ran a little short, and they cut us off. I just wanted to say thank you for calling in. We appreciate you clarifying that, because we're not afraid. Right. We want to talk about it, and all I'm interested in is finding the truth. And I hope that you folks are, too. So many times we get people. And I know you can mention Barack Obama to a couple people, and oh my gosh, he is the epitome of high evil. And of course, the same was true of George Bush and Bill Clinton and all of these guys. But the thing is, they let their emotions blur their eyesight, their intellectual eyesight. I think Clinton was kind of an interesting character. He's kind of a neat footnote in history, a very selfish man. He was certainly a lot less destructive to this country than George Bush. Because he only stole for himself, you know. I mean, how much can one man steal? Give him all he wants. I mean, hell, George Bush took trillions of dollars in this whole war nonsense. They lost, billions and billions and billions. I remember one time they lost $4 billion on a loading dock. This was literally pallets of $100 Federal Reserve Monopoly money dollars that you paid for. And they just, poof, disappeared.
On a pallet.
On pallets. They just went away. Now, I don't know. I may not be the most stingy person in the world, but $4 billion I'd have to pay some attention to. You know, it would be nice if our politicians treated what they're spending, even though it's socialistically done and they shouldn't be spending it. But that they are, wouldn't they spend it to try and effect some good positive change? And people often ask, how come nothing ever gets done? How come government has never solved a problem? Well, because if they do, they become irrelevant. They got nothing to do. If we educated our children, first they'd have a problem with the children saying, what the hell are you doing? Because it would call bluff on the game. Call BS on the game that the politicians have been running. So it's dangerous to educate them and get them thinking critically. But by the same token, they would have solved a problem. And if they did, then they got to go find another problem. I mean, that's all they do. I mean, imagine we didn't have any problems. I think it would be great. I like what the Texas legislature does. They meet every other year. So they're out of work every other year. That's good. That's good for people. And up in New Hampshire, where I came from and grew up, I think it's great. It's the third largest parliamentary body in the world. Lots and lots of this little dinky state. And it's interesting because down at the state house, they don't have air conditioning. Now they could, and they could use it, especially in the spring when it gets real humid. It gets real humid and hot. But the reason they didn't, now this is old Yankee thinking. Don't we wish we were all Yankees? Because they said if you give them air conditioning, they'll stay longer. If they stay longer, they'll talk more. If they talk more, they'll spend more. So they don't have air conditioners. Isn't that smart?
See, they don't have offices either.
The people of they have little cubbies. I've been there. The little cubbies. The people of New Hampshire have been very, very careful and meticulous. I remember sitting in a town meeting once. We had just bought an $80,000. We've got 700 people in the town I was raised in. And we bought an $80,000 fire truck. An $80,000. We stayed there for 4 hours looking for 11 cents that could not be found on the balance sheets. And we found it. It was just a simple somebody just had written it in wrong. But that's the kind of attention you want, that Yankee frugality in government, to make sure that your money, if they're going to steal your money and spend it at the very least, please please don't just piss it away. What do you think, Jet?
Well, what's the motto of the state of New Hampshire?
It is live free or die.
That's right.
The best the nation's ever seen for any of those mottos.
You know, and I do believe, it's kind of befuddling to me that, you know, we admit that they steal the money from us. It's government equals force. But yet, we still expect them to spend the stolen money frugally.
I'm still naive in many ways.
The irony's not lost on me.
I mean, we were talking about doing a segment, and we just ultimately canned it just because, and it's stupid, only because people would become confused. And we don't want to confuse you. We were going to call it the honest socialist. Well, that's an oxymoron. I mean, and I spoke with a gentleman from South Carolina yesterday who called me at home, and we were talking, and he claimed to be a Republican. Oddly enough, he seemed like a real Democrat more than anything else. And he was talking about, well, there are honest socialists. I said, no, you can't have an honest socialist. They have all their do-gooder programs. We love them for that. They care about people. They're compassionate. The individual rights, yay team. But doggone it, every one of their doggone do-gooder programs depends on stealing money from someone else. They can never cross that moral hurdle. You can't steal money from someone else and then say, I'm going to use it for good works. I mean, Aaron Russo used to talk about the guy walking down the street in Chicago. It's cold. And the fellow walking with you says, hey, I want $50. Well, okay, you're cold. You want $50. Here, I'll give you $50, Aaron would say. He said, well, is the feeling the same when the guy says, give me $50? If you're the guy being asked, the tone of voice might change your attitude just a snidget. But what if they pulled out a gun and said, give me $50? Oh, and that's even another attitude. But then there's the final one. They pull out a gun, they put it in your face, say, give me $50. It's for the children. Is there any morality that has been elevated by adding a few words? Ultimately, did they or did they not forcibly extract the funds, the substance of this individual from their very pockets? Didn't they?
Yeah. Our government is not Robin Hood, you know?
I mean, theft is still theft, even by government. I mean, it doesn't matter. You got a gang with a flag, as Ernie says. And more as you look at it, you do tend to become more cynical. But at the same time, I become very optimistic and hopeful, because once this puppy collapses, we have got the framework. All we got to do is go back and follow it, rebuild it new. I don't think there's any chance we're going to be able to clean up. No. The bureaucrats are corrupt. You got to fire all of them. They got to go away. Go bye. Get out of here. Get.
That's the whole reason, Barry, why I'm a libertarian, because I feel that libertarians have the most faith in humanity. Mm-hmm. I feel that if people are just left alone to their own devices, when we became the most dominant species on the earth, we didn't have a government.
None at all.
We did just fine.
Yep. It was just a convenience. And that's all it was for the states to join together. They were individual. I mean, if you look up state, folks, if you're listening, you should understand the terminology. I want to define it for you. State. Think of the state of Israel. It's an independent sovereign nation. That's what a state is on the international spectrum. And so that we have to understand that each of our individual states, and sometimes we like to delineate them by calling them commonwealths or republics, but ultimately a state is an individual sovereign entity who joined in voluntary confederation for a couple of those things that the states couldn't do by themselves. For instance, guarding the whole border. And they called it the whole border because they were in of like mind with the other people of the other states. Now, if they hadn't been, they would have had to cut that out from the border. But they did, and also to obviously arrange international shipping and trading and make sure that our national defenses were up. And that's totally legitimate. There's 18 enumerated powers of government. And if they actually concentrated on them, I think they could. I think they could. I think we could have some decent roads, the post-road requirement, to make sure that private roads would never be closed and you wouldn't, you know, some nasty robber baron is not going to stop you from going across Minnesota. There would always be an alternative, a public alternative. That's why I get such a kick out of these people who say, oh, you libertarians, you don't believe in paying taxes, don't believe in the government and blah, blah, blah. You shouldn't be driving on the roads. Huh? Well, that's probably the only honest tax in America. Is the fuel tax. You're paying for the roads out of the fuel tax, not out of your income tax. You're paying out, if you buy gas, you're paying for it It's yours, and therefore you have fulfilled all of your obligation. But many people don't realize
but
that.
But even then, it's still mortgaged. You know, people that aren't even born yet are paying for these roads because they don't always take that money that is taken out of that fuel tax. And then they go build the roads on credit like we've done with everything.
They steal the money. Yeah. They steal the money. But and that's how they hornswoggled into getting into our education system. It was for the roads funds coming from the federal government. They say, well, we're not going to build any more roads for you if you don't educate your kids and teach them this, 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 and this. If you don't teach them sexual perversion in school, if you don't teach them how to use drugs in school with the DARE program, if you don't teach them that they shouldn't be thinking critically, they should just shut up, sit down, and be good little socialists and pay their taxes.
Yeah. Or if you know, like the other things they do with the unfunded mandates, you know, and the coercion for wearing a seatbelt, you don't get your highway funds. It's always you give them all your money, you get a small portion of it back by the from the states. You know, the states give all the money to the feds, they get a little bit of it back, and but there's always still these provisions that are.
Well, it's mission creep, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And you wanted to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, mission creep it means to me that, you know, there's an entity that has something they want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. Like in the article I was reading about was the Southern Poverty Law Center. You know, they started out in the civil rights, you know, which I think was a wonderful thing.
In the 60s.
Yes.
Right.
But then their mission creep got to be all this other stuff and, you know, labeling people and writing papers for the government and it just, they're not effective.
And they got involved and actually condemned our good friend Chris B. for showing up armed to an event with veterans who all shot people or wars just because Barack Obama was there. We'll be back after the break and we'll talk a little more about it.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
No, no! Help me, help me!
Have we tuned into the wrong radio station? We're back. This is Barry Hess sitting in for Ernest Hancock on Declare Your Independence. some of the bumper music is getting kind of bumpy here. We were talking a little bit about mission creep and how so many of these administrators and these bureaucrats, what doesn't matter if they're private or public, when they sit idly, as the old saying goes, you know, idle hands is the devil's playground. Well, it is. And you were talking about the Southern Poverty Law Center and how their mission creep, they kind of ran out of stuff. And now they've taken on a new role. And what was that? You were mentioning an article you had written, and it was talking in regards to a specific incident. What was that?
Well, our friend Chris that we've had on the show here that's making worldwide news. We actually translated, you know, with the Google, an article about him in German. You know, the gentleman that brought the AR-15 to the Obama event. And he's a friend of ours, and he's like the nicest guy you'll ever meet. And, you know, it's the mission creep. And the article I wrote was about the media. You know, originally their mission creep has gone way off the end. They're supposed to simply report the news. And now they are the news. They are part of the machine.
Yep.
They are actually creating policy and public opinion where they're only supposed to be a mirror of what is actually going on in society.
It's true. And you see the media has been so complicit in all of this. They just love the scandal. They love the sensation. Even though they are the propaganda ministers for the Republican Democrat Party, the old media still needs advertising dollars. That's why they favor and why they've gotten they push lesser known candidates or lesser party candidates out of the way is because they know they're not going to spend the money advertising with them. The old media, like the major, we had a big deal here in this state against the state paper of record, the Arizona Republic. People were climbing all over them saying, hey, how come you've only been telling us about two of these gubernatorial candidates when there are three? And it got so bad, they ultimately, and now we did a little urging, because it wasn't even close. And they said, well, we just have to make editorial decisions. We only have so much ink and blah, blah, blah. Well, wait a minute. Don't print any of it if you haven't got room to print the whole story. Because I know at some point I got so angered that I had said to the editors, forget it. You have just gone, because they were threatening to minimize or marginalize me and my campaign. Now, we're on the ballot. We're legally exactly the same as the Republican and Democrats here in Arizona. And they said, if you do, because I had said, look, your reporting sucks. You guys are lying to people. Enough is enough. We're going to start a new website, and it's going to be Report on the Reporter. And all we're going to do is we're going to put up a video of the event and maybe our thoughts, and then we're going to juxtapose what your reporters say about it. Oh, man, the editor got all bent out of shape because he knew. He knew they produced the news. Well, you got a producer for news, that tells you a story all by itself, that it is produced. It is manufactured for you. Well, he said they were going to, if I did, at first he said, you can't hold my reporters up to ridicule. Isn't it interesting? That was the first place his head went. Rather than saying, well, my reporters will vindicate themselves because they'll show themselves to be proper and good and honest reporters. Well, he knew the opposite was true, and he threatened me to minimize or marginalize me, my campaign, and my party. Oh, boy, well, that's stupid. I mean, you don't tell a libertarian that. So we went on a national campaign on media bias, raised, I don't know, tens of thousands of dollars, and we utilized it in other forms of media to make fun of the Republic, and then suddenly they wanted to talk. And I said, no, you have gone from the newspaper that wouldn't give the whole story to the newspaper that could not get the whole story. You are useless. And that really, they started to realize, oh, my God, they don't want that kind of perception out in the public. If the public knew that they weren't being told the whole story, then they would discount the story. And it led into a real interesting situation where ultimately they did capitulate. With about 2 weeks to go in the campaign, suddenly they have like seven reporters trying to get interviews, and I wouldn't give it to them. And then Ernie, of course, we both said, sorry, you guys aren't good enough. We will not legitimize your fraudulent newspaper. Well, we turned them on their heads, and now the Internet has done the same thing because, well, what, it's like 85% of the people are now going to the Internet for their news, and the newspapers are in trouble. But, hey, this is going to lead to Barack doing us some good things, right? You know what it is, right?
What's
they're
that?
They're going to bail out the newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're too big to fail.
Well, they're part of the machine. That's the wow. They get their propaganda out.
Oh, we can't live without the L.A. Times, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the ones they choose, which are just viciously political. Exactly. I mean, it's just amazing to me. But that's what's coming, folks. They're going to use your tax dollars to prop up newspapers because you haven't been buying them, you bad, bad people. Bad, bad. Go buy a newspaper. Support a newspaper reporter so he can continue to lie and propagate for you. I mean, it's just crazy. But Americans will do it. There will be some segment of the population that will say, yeah, we got to save the New York Times because we just don't want to. It's just been here so long. Yeah, nonsense. If they can't get their reporting in line so where people will want to come listen to them, then they shouldn't exist. Mm-hmm. There is an appropriate time for extinction, much the same way these people follow the polar bears. You know, they're saying, let's save the ice cap. Next thing you know, they want us to refreeze it or something. But at some point, evolution comes in. I mean, these are
the
evolutionists,
dinosaurs,
after all.
Yeah. Of the media, they're the dinosaurs.
And it's time to go away. They are so, as Ernie says, so last century. We'll be back in this century in just a minute to talk a little more. And folks, fire up your phone calls, 800-313-9443. Call in.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
And we're back with a nice ballad. We're going to sit back and cozy up. Oh, that was Johnny Cash. That was The Man. And that's a good one. The Man going around getting names around here. Something like that. Of course, obviously I'm not a singer. But this is Barry Hess sitting in for the vacationing Ernest Hancock on Declare Your Independence with our guest, Jet Lacey. Jet, please finish your thought. You were talking about mission creep of Southern Poverty Law Center and how they've gone from protecting individual rights to now dividing us up into groups and making subjective decisions about what those people are all about. Is that fairly?
Yes. I mean, they were they weren't the actual authors. It actually did come out of the MIAC report, which is the Missouri, you know, Fusion Center's report that labels people like us, libertarians, Chuck Baldwin supporters, Ron Paul supporters, returning veterans, gun owners, as potential terrorists. And that was like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe that they would say those things. You know, if you display the Gadsden flag,
right?
And that's what we're talking about with the media more than as a tool, because the Southern Poverty Law Center is part of the media. They report on things and they write papers, yeah, and they're always appearing as pundits on the talk shows. So they are, it's a quasi government, quasi whatever, a whole bunch of things, but they ultimately make decisions for the public and form public opinion. But, and again, that's so last century. It's going the way of the dinosaur, the media. But we have Freedom's Phoenix here, and that's Ernie's, you know, website. That's where all of this got started. And it doesn't matter. Anybody can post on it. Anyone can write an article. Anyone, the articles that are posted are the people that read.
Is that an invitation for people to
Absolutely.
Put their own articles up to freedomsphoenix.com?
Freedoms with an S.
And Freedoms with an S. Plenty of S around here. And folks, so please go up and on and see it, because there is some really good stuff. I find stuff from the I read the MIT Technology Review. I know I turned Ernie onto that, and boy, he's a geekhead. He's gone wild on it. And there's some really good information, and there's good information on, well, like you were saying, who drives the content? That's important, folks. So listen up. Who drives the content on
the readers.
Phoenix?
The readers do. I mean, I posted an article, and it kind of smacks to what we're talking about today. It's about the mainstream media and the Second Amendment. How would they like it? That's the whole point of my article, is how would they like it if we advocated for taking away the right that they hold dear, which is the First Amendment?
Well, they say they do, but they don't seem to embrace it, the First Amendment. Some speech should be uncensored, according to them. And when you add the some and the subjectiveness, allowing percentages or degrees, I mean, that's the only thing that separates a Republican from a Democrat. It's not the premise. It's the percentages and degrees. How much money will you steal? How many times will you kick me? Those are the only things that are up for grabs as far as the Republican-Democrats go. And, of course, you know, we're the wet blanket on the whole thing, because we say, how about no kicking, no stealing? How about that? And it drives them nuts, because they got nothing to whine about. And if you got nothing to whine about, then what good are you? You know, then you've got no relevance. And I think in many ways the Southern Poverty Law Center has outlived its usefulness. There is a time for things to evolve out of existence. Because if there's any case I'd make for evolution, it would always be for social. Social evolution is something I'll grasp. I don't know about the scientific side of the other story. There's a lot of holes that I find perplexing and troubling. That can't be reconciled in a scientific way, this whole idea of evolving from monkeys. And I don't know if other people want to have monkeys in their family tree. Yay, team. They got them. Have a nice day. I don't. I got some real clowns in mine. But I don't know about the monkeys, banana-eating ones. And it really is kind of, we find ourselves in a chaos, a confusion, as people, because we have all these voices coming at us from different directions, and ours is one of them. They come at us from all directions. Oh, you got to hate the gay people. Oh, you got to hate the black people, or white people, or red people, blah, 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 the Catholics or whatever. You can get into any kind of delineation. But folks, that's what this media does. That's what our politicians do. They don't want to be irrelevant. And that is the biggest problem that they face, is finding that nobody wants them to do anything. If they just made sure our roads were in good shape, we could concentrate on that, and we could stay on their back about that. Or if they made sure that the postal system was working well, okay, we'd stay on their back about that. or about defending our borders in a real sense, not gathering ourselves for exploits overseas in 135 different countries. If we brought every American soldier home today, taking them out of harm's way, you know, of course, all the parents and all the children and all the wives and husbands, they would love it. But you know who wouldn't like it? The bureaucracy. Because then they got nothing to do. Well, all those people come home. We got hundreds of thousands of people stationed around the world. And now we bring them all home. We make them safe again. Yay! We should all be jumping up and down and having ice cream socials because of it. But no, they're saying, oh, there will be the first ones coming up saying, we can't afford to. We can't afford to bring them home. Economically, we've got these contracts we've got to fulfill with our vendors over in all these countries and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, are you out of your mind? We're saving lives. So forget your silly contracts. Pack it up. Get out. Let's go. Let's leave people alone.
Ron Paul said that we marched in. We can march right out. And it's as simple as that. But the thing is, that going back to what we were talking about, it's a really interesting point that, you know, NBC, take for example. Who owns NBC? General Electric. General Electric is one of the very largest defense contractors in the entire world. They have a vested interest in keeping the war going because it makes them money. You think they're going to say one thing about ending the war? No.
Not at all. And there's no way to wind down a war without the people, the organizations that have become so influential, and those would be the suppliers and munitions manufacturers and suppliers. They gin up for the big war. There's no way to gin them down. And so they always, at the end of a war, they always get hurt. So they got to go out and look for another war. And that's what they do. And they inspire them, even though people are being killed, because to them, lives are nothing. 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 Your life means diddly squat. For instance, I was just taking a look at the paper. I just wanted to make sure if anybody's here in Arizona, if you could get down tonight between 6:30 and 7:30 to the IBEW Hall. Down at 5808 North 7th Street. Go on down. Because, and especially if you really care about your health care, this is going to be a meeting on the Health Insurance Reform Tour. And that's what they call it. I got this from an insider who got it. You know, it's of course only supposed to go to super hippie liberal socialists, you know, who are showing up. These are the people who are being bussed into these Obama events to get them video. To make it look like he's got all these fawning, glowering supporters, when in fact he doesn't. He can't raise a local crowd. He tried it in three or four states, one on the East Coast, which was a dismal failure. And then in the Midwest, we found out that people actually got tickets by lottery, and then they didn't let them in. They let all these bust-in union workers come in to fill the audience so that everybody was, yay, Barack, you're just the greatest thing in the whole wide world. And you know, it's just they just kiss their butt. It's just amazing. Well, and then they came here, of course, to Phoenix, and they met Crispy.
Yep. They bust them in here, too, and that's what they were upset about because they got co-opted.
It's because they didn't get their video. That's it, a black man with a gun, and nobody got hurt. Imagine. That squirrels them up. In their world, they cannot have that happen. They want an incident. And then you have the White House. They were kind of flummoxed. I love their response because, you know how Barack, he hates gun owners and he hates people threatening his existence, of course. But he actually sided and said, well, they have a right to do it. Well, that took the steam out of the supporters, the union workers, the mindless minions who follow them. Now they're not allowed to yell at the gunnies. So what did some of these mindless minions do? They're saying, hey, at the next meeting, we're going to bring guns, too. And they're hoping for a shootout, folks. And I fear it's going to happen. These the liberals who are behind the healthcare tour, they're going to make sure somebody gets hurt. Mm-hmm. Somebody is going to get hurt because of it. And it's not because of people being honest. It's about people being dishonest. Because, again, we're trying to save the people. They're trying to save the boat. And that's what it comes down to. These bureaucrats who want to save their job. I mean, I have zero respect. My son was kind of thinking that I was disrespectful towards someone. And I think it was a repo something. He's watching a show on TV. And I said, this is just pathetic. I couldn't have any respect for anybody who would take that job, let alone work for the IRS or the Federal Reserve. I don't have any respect for people who would take that. I'm just a secretary. No, you're supporting the beast in one way or the other. And they don't see it that way because their paycheck is more important than the person's life next
door.
Yeah,
I was just doing my job. Just
following orders.
Yeah.
And we're going to hear it again. And now you hear rumblings every once in a while. Obama sinks a little bit and they throw a little tidbit, in, you know, shark bait out there and say, oh, we're going to prosecute the war criminal, George Bush. Which definitely should be done if we're going to have clean justice, but they're not going to do it. They only say it to get people excited, and that leads people to think they actually did it, like the Trent Franks claiming he's going to demand a congressional investigation of the birth certificate thing. It's not going to happen, but they have planted enough seeds in people's minds to make them think that it already did.
Yeah, it's as simple as... you know, just doing it. They can do it or they don't do it. It's that simple.
Yeah, I mean, and there's an old book that says, and ye shall know them by their fruits. Let's look what they've done. Let's look what we've done. Let's stand back, take an objective look. And I think any parent who was put in the proper parental role, caring for their children, they were the guardians of a new life. The ability to influence a mind is so powerful. As a parent, it's amazing. My life changed when I became a parent. Really, you start thinking in terms of, it's not just about me. It's about the next generation. It's not just about my son. It's about all of his friends and all of their friends. It's about that generation. See, we're the libertarians. We are the ones who are leading the fight to try to protect the only thing of value that we will ever leave the next generation, and that is a legacy of individual freedom. That's it. That money goes away. Things go away. Buildings fall down. But freedom. Oh, no. Freedom stays. It burns in the hearts. That's why we're here, and that's why most of us are unpaid for what we do. Ernest Hancock certainly doesn't get paid for any of his incredible efforts, and he gets around. But people support us, and that's a good thing. And that's truly a brotherhood of people coming together because they want to. If they didn't want to, they wouldn't contribute. And when I say contribute, I'm talking about people willing to paint, to wipe, mop the floors, to build studios. One of the best studios I've seen here in Arizona, it's equipped as well as any of them, and even a video studio, we could do the news on the level of Channel 12 or 3 or 5, or it doesn't matter, all of those. That's pretty extraordinary, and that's why they're getting all flummoxed about they want the media bailout. And if you look at the media, you'll find out who the true corporate owners are. They're not media people generally, and there's only four or five of them, except for Freedom's Phoenix, of course.
That's right.
And here on this radio network. Now, folks, I just wanted to remind you, if you had anything to say, you want to add to the conversation, please call in at 800-313-9443. I had a little bit of a problem getting that message out a little earlier, but if you do have something to say, we want to hear from you. This is your show.
I love it. And that's what it is. This is about your freedom. Mm-hmm. This is about your declaration of independence. And no one can declare that independence for you. And you don't have to declare your independence with us. That's what Ernie always says. You don't have to declare your independence with me, but declare it for yourself. If you want to stand up with me, that's great. If you don't want to stand up with me, that's great. But your independence is up to you. It's whether you take it. It's whether you want to do something about it. Because our society is being changed irreparably right now.
Oh, big time.
And with every bad comes a good, and every good comes a bad. And when... you know, when things start to go bad, it really makes people step back, like you said, and take a look at what's really going on. And you can think what you want, right, left, it doesn't matter. Our rights are being eroded at an unprecedented rate. The healthcare thing is the same thing. The government is trying to take another 17% of the gross domestic product of this country. Mm-hmm. That is an astronomical amount of money that they want to control. And I'm frankly, they can't run Amtrak and they can't run anything. Everything they've ever done, the post office, and it's been an abysmal failure.
But it's not about the money. It's about control. That's why we have a 1,200-page proposal for health care. 1,200 pages. And folks, getting back to the oxymoron of an honest socialist, if there was a socialist who was socially aware and wants to protect our rights, wouldn't they want an anonymity? They don't want 1,200 pages. Incidentally, that allows the government to come into your bank account to see every single thing you do and to assess your lifestyle, to determine whether you eat right. It's just incredible what it does. But there would be an alternative for an honest socialist, and that would be just say, look, the big problem really is all the tests. It's what all the insurance companies hesitate to pay. It's an enormous cost. If government had just said, hey, we're just going to run anonymous tests of all kinds for everyone, period. We're going to cover all the test costs. We can do it anonymously. We'll just certify the results. We don't need to pry into anybody's personal life. They need the test. They get the test. Done deal. Get in, get out. We don't treat anything. We don't do anything other than give the test so that your doctor will know. That would alleviate the expense to the insurance companies, the enormous expense, and now they would lower the rates to get to what Barack is now promising, where he was promising accessible health care. He's now promising affordable insurance. And that's what it would do for us. It's simple ideas. Eliminate the income tax. Put all those dollars back into every sector of this society, and you will stimulate transactions in places the government could never hope to reach by giving huge money to the auto companies, to the oil companies, to the banks. It makes more sense. Doesn't that make more sense? Get government out of our lives. Let them perform a service. Lessen the cost to the insurance companies. Poof. Healthcare problem solved.
And right? Yeah. And, you know, if people had more money in their checking accounts every week, they have more ability to be creative and maybe create the next great thing that comes along. And, yep. You know, individuals are the ones that create inventions out of necessity.
So let's see what you'll create right after the break. This is Barry Hess sitting in.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a second. Yeah. Hold on there, Nelly.
There we go.
There now.
Anyway, we'll be right back, right, Barry?
We'll be right back after the break. This is Barry Hess sitting in for Ernest Hancock on Declare Your Independence.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
In constant sorrow through his day, I am the man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my day.
And we're going to head off trouble in our days. The man of constant sorrow will be the man of extreme exuberance and enthusiasm and optimism when I'm done with him, because we've got a whole new world out there in front of us. And what it's going to take is very simple. It's a systemic change in the way that we think. I'll tell you what, the most powerful bumper sticker I had ever seen in my life was really, I mean, and it really did influence my life, because it was just two words, and it said, question authority. Question authority. Wow, what a concept. To be sure that you're answering to the right authority. And make sure your priorities are in line, because if your authority happens to be some Gestapo member in a bureaucracy, and that's who you've chosen to follow, be prepared, because it's a painful and bumpy ride. Because we've come. The people are back. I think the spirit of what was America is coming back. So I would urge every one of our listeners, question authority at every turn. Incidentally, the second most powerful bumper sticker I ever saw was equally poignant. It said, the best things in life aren't things. Isn't that good? That's a good one. And folks, there are some other things you might want to, I just wanted to kind of pass by you, because we hear people saying, don't you love America? Get out there and fly your flag. And see, what you're doing is you're giving support to people you may not agree with. The pledge, don't you say the Pledge of Allegiance? Well, some people do, some people don't. But the pledge, if we wrote it correctly, if it was read correctly, now think about this. Now, this will give you something to kind of play with in your head for the rest of the day, is the pledge. It you know how it goes. It's, I pledge my allegiance, blah, blah, blah. Well, here's how it should go. I pledge my allegiance through this flag to these states united as America and to its republics for which it stands as one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, folks, I'd ask you, doesn't that make more sense than pledging your allegiance to a flag and to just one single entity? No, we banded together. We were going to hang together or hang separately, but we were all individuals. And that goes for our states as well. So when I see this modern movement, I think in Montana, boy, them swords are rattling over there. They're telling the feds, we don't want you here no more. Get out. Get out now. And that's what's going on. They're rejecting the firearms laws. Many states are very soon going to be rejecting the federal imposition of their drug laws because they're not working. We're seeing in South America, at least two countries in South America, Mexico being one of them, have now decided they're going to decriminalize possession of small amounts of various drugs. And they were smart in the sense that they didn't delineate. It wasn't just pot. It wasn't just for medical. It was for everything, because ultimately you have a responsibility. If you want to trash your body, you have the right. If you want to be an idiot, you have the right. I'm just urging you, don't do it. And we'll see you tomorrow. This is Barry Hess sitting in for Ernest Hancock on Declare Your Independence. Remember, visit Freedoms Phoenix, that's freedoms with an S, .com for all the latest news. And by the way, our condolences to the Kennedy family. We'll see you tomorrow. Don't stop.